Welcome to the Unfair Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of the podcast by OnFIF Sovereign Debt Institute. I'm Burhan Kabbai, Head of Content at OnFIF Sovereign Debt Institute. And today we'll be looking at Austria's Green T-bill program, particularly as they've just rolled over their first Green T-bill issuance. And we'll be talking about their plans in the green commercial paper market. Austria became the first sovereign in the world to issue Green T-bills, and will be issuing green commercial paper too. I'm delighted to be joined by Markus Stix, Managing Director of the Austrian Treasury, with me on this podcast to discuss their plans around green T-bills and green commercial paper. Markus, firstly, thank you very much for joining me. Could you firstly just go through the decision of Austria to issue green T-bills first, please?
First of all, thank you, Bern, and thank you, OMFIF, for the invitation to speak with you today about this important topic. It has been a long and exciting journey for Austria to set our green framework last year, and we have successfully implemented the green funding on a broad scale as an important second pillar of our funding strategy. So Austria intends to issue green instruments across the whole spectrum of the curve. So when we developed our green framework last year, we took the decision to include green short-term instruments as well. This allows us to issue green Austrian T-bills and green Austrian commercial papers. And among sovereigns, Austria is the first issuer worldwide to include short-term debt instruments as a complement in its green framework and enhancing the flexibility as well for the money market investors. If you look at central banks, money market funds, and bank treasuries as well. But this underpins the general approach of the Austrian Treasury to be flexible and innovative with regards to prevailing market demand by broadening the green securities investment universe. And therefore, I feel also honored that these efforts were also recognized in the IFI Awards this year, where we have been awarded as the Sustainable Issuer of the Year. This is really a great achievement for the Austrian Treasury, and this award confirms the success of the strategic orientation which we have undertaken. And to end up, one of the main motivation for the green framework was to broaden our investor base, but not only in the long-term tenors, as well in the area of the short-term universe.
Okay, thank you, Markus. And yeah, congratulations for that award. And you mentioned the investor base. Could you talk me through the investor base for these green T-bills? What are they sort of, you know, who are these investors?
As already mentioned, central banks, money market funds, but as well bank treasuries, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the short-term investors. You've just recently rolled over the first transaction this week on Tuesday. We're recording on February 23rd on Thursday. So on the 21st, you rolled over the first transaction. Could you talk me through how that went?
So the first rollover received a very warm welcome by the market, and we have seen strong interest in the three-month green treasury bill, shown by a bid cover ratio of 2.2 and a substantial greenium of 8.5 basis points, following the greenium of 2.5 basis points in our first green treasury bill. And as the T-bill issued via an auction format, we do not have a full picture on the end investors, which are behind the orders of the primary dealers. But as far as we know, roughly 30 to 40% were reinvestments and 60 to 70% were new green investors. To our opinion, a very good mix. And throughout the year, we will see three additional rollovers, one in May, one in August, and one in November.
Okay, thank you. So a good proportion, of the investors stayed in the transaction, 30 to 40%, you said. So did the remaining investors, did they move? I know they had the flexibility to move to other Austrian green bonds. Did they move to other bonds of Austria's?
Yes, we observed a higher turnover in our green bond, maturity 2049, starting from this year. And hopefully we will see as well the investors in our green commercial paper program starting from the 6th of May onwards.
Okay, great. And what's been the feedback from investors about the green T-bill program? Because as an observer, it is quite surprising that there wasn't any sovereign green tea bills before Austria launched this transaction last year. What's been the feedback from investors since you've obviously you've issued the first tea bill, and now you've rolled over the first transaction? What's been the feedback from investors?
The feedback was overall very positive. As we are providing a new green investment opportunity for short-term oriented investors, we received great attention in the market. We have been also very active in our investor relations work, and we kicked off our green T-bill issuance with a hybrid roadshow last October. This was followed by a very successful first auction last year and further investor work and roadshows this year. From my point of view, investors like the clear and transparent communication of our green issuance strategy and as well our active investor approach, which is paired with a compelling ESG strategy from Austria and a strong ESG rating.
Okay, great. Yeah, and you'll also be issuing green commercial paper alongside your green tea bill, so sort of covering the whole sort of short-term market as well. Could you sort of give some detail on those plans?
Yes, sure. So we will approach the market with the inaugural green commercial paper from the 6th March onwards. Green commercial paper from Austria can be issued in a very flexible manner. Issuances are possible on a bilateral basis and in nearly all currencies and all tenors up to 12 months. We have also reduced our standard minimum size for green CBs to 10 million euros or equivalent, as we have seen that also smaller ESG boutique money market investors have a need for investment here.
Okay, great. And what will be the likely size and maturities that you'll be issuing the commercial paper in?
Size-wise, it depends a bit of the estimations from the green eligible expenditures in total from this year. So we will announce the final figure at the latest in Q2. But if you look at the actual calculations, we have an 80-20 mix. 80% from all the green eligible expenditures will be with a medium to long term, 20% with short-term products, treasury bills and commercial paper. So we have at least more than 1 billion in the short-term area. And we can split this amount, for example, half-half, 50%, 500 million in the increasing the T-bill volumes and 500 million at least for commercial paper. Tenor-wise, the shortest one is a 1 month period up to 12 months.
Okay, that's interesting. And how much are you looking to issue in total in short term, in the short term market, as well as in your long term market as well?
For all the products or for the green products?
For your green products, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Green.
Last year, we have issued 5.1 billion in green instruments, 4 billion the inaugural green bond, 1 billion green T-bill, and 100 million green loan with an insurance company from Austria. And we have made a clear statement from the early beginning on that our ambitions are to stay in the green market as a frequent issuer. So for this year, we have at least the same figure with the 5.1, but we expecting a higher figure. But it depends a bit on the budget estimates for this year and the budget execution of final figures for last year. We stick to our approach, a mixture of 80 to 20, 80% medium long term, and 20% short-term green financing instruments. So therefore, we have the option for the 80% bond share to increase our existing 2049 maturity by, for example, 4 billion, or to do a dual tranche, 1 billion increasing of the existing line, 3 billion setting a new point on the curve, a benchmark point, or to go for a 4 billion transaction in the bond area. And on the T-bill or commercial paper area, I mentioned at least 1 billion in the short-term area.
Okay, and that one bin will be comprised of a combination of the T-bills and commercial paper.
Yes, indeed. And what is possible as well, starting from this year, that the use of proceeds language is as well included in our EMTN program, the international program. So it is possible for the investors to have their private placements with an XS ISIN in the green format as well. And by the way, the Republic of Austria has the highest share of green expenditures across all sovereign green bond issuers worldwide in relation to GDP.
Yeah, and I guess that gives you the flexibility to issue different products, and that's why you've obviously launched the short-term instruments as well, which is very interesting. And the distinction between the commercial paper and T-bills is the, as you mentioned, the flexibility, schedule, the size, and the bilateral nature of commercial paper as well compared to T-bills, which are issued obviously on auction. So those are that that's the that's the those are the main
Yeah,
distinctions between the products.
definitely. The main distinction is on the T-bill side, we have the standardized approach with auction based and only in euro. On the commercial paper, you have the tailor-made issuance. So we can go as well for tailor-made tenors, 6 weeks or 9 weeks if there is investor need. And we have the various currencies as well in the commercial paper format. On the one hand, this leads a bit to an overlap between the investors, but as well, we have different investors as well. If you look at the boutique ESG investors, that they are not trading treasury bills, they are more on the commercial paper side, whereas central banks are sometimes they need to trade the T-bills. So that's the more, there's more turnover in the T-bills than on the commercial papers.
Okay, great. Investors can switch out of the commercial paper and T-bills into other Austrian government bonds, can't they?
Yes, they can. We have 16 commercial paper primary dealers in Austrian commercial papers, and they can trade with them to switch in and out in all our instruments in the green universe.
Okay, great. And I'm interested to know if other sovereign DMOs have approached you with questions or help in setting up a similar short-term sovereign program in green T-bills and commercial paper.
Yes, of course. Our new
Okay.
green short-term program also received attention by our colleagues in other
Okay.
DMOs throughout Europe. And we shared our experiences in some meetings and in bilateral discussions. Yes.
Okay, that's very interesting. So there could be other European sovereign DMOs following you in this market.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask you, we're always talking about green products here and the use of proceeds framework, which is the most common way of issuing green bonds in Europe and in developed world. Obviously, we've seen some, well, only two sovereign SLB sustainability linked bonds, KPI linked bonds. Is this something that you're looking at in Austria?
This is an interesting segment within the ESG market, definitely, but still a niche product in the sovereigns world. And however, we do not have any plans at the moment to add sustainability-linked bonds in our funding portfolio, as we want to focus on the further development of our existing green funding portfolio, which is already standing on broad legs. And additionally, as a relatively small issuer in the international context, accounting for around 4% of the annual Eurozone funding, we do not want to undermine our strong ESG strategy by introducing too many different channels.
Okay, and well, why do you think not just yourselves but other sovereign DMOs, particularly in Europe, have not sort of taken to SLBs, and why they're favouring the use of proceeds frameworks?
I think maybe it's the same reason which I mentioned for us is valued for the others as well.
Focusing on sort of project-based
Yeah.
issuance
Yes.
and use of proceeds. Yeah. Okay. Fine. And just a question about your funding program for this year. Could you give some color on what that looks like in terms of the funding volumes and the types of issuance you'll be doing across the products?
Yeah, sure. Our planned issuance volume in the main funding program, the Austrian government bonds, amounts to around 45 billion. And this is roughly in line with the previous funding. We ended up at 44.4 billion. In the short-term financing instruments, in total, we expect an increase in the range of 5 to 7 billion, with an outstanding volume of 30 billion in the short-term area. If you look at the strategy, as in the previous year, monthly auctions of government bonds and treasury bills are planned in order to increase the liquidity in our existing lines. And in addition, 3 to 4 syndications are planned, and we are active in the secondary market to support our primary dealers by selling our own redemptions to the market.
Okay, great. Thanks, Marcus. And what do you make of the market conditions this year? Because at the end of last year, there were a lot of concerns, but I guess since the start of this year, it's been quite positive. What do you make of the overall market this year?
We have seen so far this year is that the market overall is very supportive to new sovereign bond issuances, and the market environment is, frankly speaking, better than expected. We also perceived the strong interest in our first syndicated transaction early in the year, shown by a record order book for a 10-year Austrian transaction of more than 32 billion. And we have also seen strong demand in our auctions so far this year, with a bid cover ratio of 2.4. And overall, as of today, we have already reached close to 30% of our RHGB funding target.
Okay, great. And what are the main sort of concerns for you as an issuer, as a regular issuer in the benchmark government bond market? What are your main concerns this year from a funding perspective?
Yeah, despite market volatility decreased compared to the extremely high levels which we have seen last year, for example, the interest rate path of the European Central Bank is still a bit blurred, and the impact on markets of quantitative tightening starting from March has to be seen, and we have to look how the market will react. And I think as well, the amount of stickiness of the core inflation is also another important factor throughout the year and may keep markets really busy. On the macroeconomic front, we currently see a better development across Europe than anticipated some months ago, which is also the case for Austria. So the high debt sustainability of Austria remains a key strength here. And among others, a strong labor market paired with a well-diversified manufacturing industry lays the ground for a return to a growth path in the second half of the year and going forward. Besides, and that's also important to mention, thanks to a bundle of activities, the energy dependency from Russia has been significantly reduced for Austria. If we look at the share of gas supply from Russia in February 22, with around 80%, now it's down below the 40% on average in the past months. And not to forget, overall, I think being a rather small sovereign issuer and having flexible and innovative funding approach helped a lot to mastering the difficult environment in the past 3 years. And by maintaining this approach, enriched by the already mentioned green funding pillar, I think we are also well prepared for the future challenges ahead.
Great. Thanks, Marcus. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for listening to the OMFIF podcast.